Well, I got to tell you all, I came here tonight with one sermon ready to go. I was so confident in it. And hearing our first two brothers preach out of Exodus, it got me to thinking and said, you know what, we're just going to go ahead and kind of follow suit. We're going to go back to the book of Exodus. And I'd like for you to turn over there to chapter number 15, though. Give you a little bit of a breather from Exodus 3. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And we do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. And we thank you, Lord, for our brothers who have already stood to bring your holy word. And each one has brought encouragement to us. And we're thankful, Father, for that. And I do pray, Lord, that you'd help me, please, to also present your word the way that you'd have me to. Thank you, God, for being so awesome to us. And we do ask you, Lord, for all the prayer requests that you take care of them as you see fit. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Amen. All right, so Exodus chapter number 15. Let's go ahead and begin reading verse number 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were very bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Go ahead and read verse 26, and it says, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and give all his and keep all his statutes, and will put none of these I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Amen. If you'll notice back there in verse number 25, it says, "And the Lord showed him a tree." And we want to look real quickly here. Our focus is going to be on this certain tree, but we're not actually focusing on the tree. We're looking at everything that's going on around this certain tree. And in verse number 22 here, I believe we see where God has a course that he has laid out for the people. He has brought them from the Red Sea, and he has taken them to this particular place here. Yeah. And he's led them there knowing full well, Brother DJ, that the waters there are bitter. Yeah, yeah. He's led them there full well, Ethan, knowing that he's got between 1 and 2 million people that he's bringing to these waters. Yeah. And they're going to be bitter. In other words, you can't drink them. And they've already gone 3 days without being able to get any water. The Red Sea is way back there. They can't run back there and get more water. They've got no water around here. What has God done? What has he led them to? Well, he has led them to this course here because this is where they need to go in order to grow, in order to become what he would have them to be. And I was thinking about over there in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And how many of us can honestly sit here and say that when we are following God's course, that's exactly what we are doing. We are using his word to go forward. Versus how many of us, if we are honest with ourselves, we ain't following God's word, so we don't know what course we're on. It's important to know what course you're on, church. Because you're not going to get to the certain tree if you ain't following the course. May I say that God took and brought some conviction into their lives here. Verse number 23, "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it is called Marah." You know what? God's going to bring some conviction, Brother Terrence, into our lives. It's going to be a little bitter when we're having to deal with this sin. We've got stuff going on here. We got no business letting it go on. And yet at the same time, what do? We keep going with it. And God's eventually, he's going to bring that conviction into our lives. We got to get you straightened out. We got to get you back on course here. I got to show you that you think you know what you've got going on, but I want to make sure that you know this is actually the place to go. Yes. He's going to have to bring some conviction on the direction that we want. Like I said, I thought I had a sermon here tonight. Man, I was fired up. And after Brother Terrence preached that first sermon, Man, I'm like, yes, I got the perfect sermon for this one. It's going to follow up. And then it comes DJ, and I'm like, that ain't the right one. Well, God, what do you want me to do? And the Lord says, Dennis, I'm bringing a little conviction into your life here that, yeah, that's a good sermon, but not tonight. I need you to go this way instead. Now, some of us could end up complaining a lot. Verse number 24, and the people murmured against Moses saying, what shall we drink? Some people are going to complain about what God is doing in their lives. God, I had this sermon over here. It is a good sermon. I studied hard for it. I worked hard for it. This is what I think should be brought. And what do you mean, no, not that one? Get to complaining. I've done it. God, you're ruining my life. Because what you're wanting me to do, God, doesn't line up with my plans. I've got this particular thing that I want to do over here, and you're saying, no, I want you to do this thing over here. Throwing a monkey wrench into the works, God. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm just not going to follow that, DJ. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'm reminded over there in 1 Samuel chapter number 8, where Samuel goes to God about this business with the king. God says, they ain't rejected you, they rejected me. By the way, the very first time that word rejected is used in the Bible is in that verse there, and it is in regards to us rejecting the very will of God Almighty. Are we rejecting God's will with our complaining? Are we rejecting God's will by having to follow our course, or are we going to accept what God's got for us? If we'll accept what God's got for us, we're going to see some coming in our lives. Verse number 25, and he, talking about Moses, cried unto the Lord. What did he do? He was coming to the Lord. God, I don't know what's going on. I need some help. Lord, I don't understand. What do you got set up here? Because it makes no sense to me. Lord, I need some direction. And what does he say there in Jeremiah chapter number 29? Let me read that for you. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a expected end. Not just an end. Right? Not just a destination, but an expected end. An expected destination. You're going someplace specific here. The road may be a little rough. It may look like it's a little windy up and down, like you're on a roller coaster going backward and forward. But God says, if you'll come to me, I'll give you what you need. We will make it through here. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But if we're going to try doing it our own way, we ain't going to see nothing happen. Second half of verse number 25 says, the Lord showed him a tree. I believe that's the cross right there, church. Number one over there in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 4. Bible says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He'd already established the cross back then. So your getting saved was not by an accident. Your getting saved was by his design. It was his invitation that our brothers had talked about here earlier to come to the cross to get saved there. And once we are saved, once we've got the cross there and we've been saved, we can continue to go back to the cross there. We can continue to live by the cross there. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
When those waters of life get bitter, when those things just look like they're going sideways on, when everything looks like it's against us and we can't go on, get back to the cross and have faith that Jesus Christ is going to see you through. He has brought you to this certain tree here so that he can work a miracle in your life. And it's good for any occasion. If you sin, get back to the cross. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need some directions in our life. Get back to the cross. We need to follow his holy will. Get back to the cross. We want to make sure we're staying right. Stay with the cross. It's there. It is that certain tree. May I say in verse number 26, we see that God has some commands that he has given. And he says, and if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. That reminds me over there in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 verse 15, which says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yeah.
diligently hearken, study to show thyself approved. You know, Brother Terrence, I heard on the radio, and it wasn't the key. It was one of these other stations, and they were given Bible verses. And they read 2 Timothy 2:15. My soul, I didn't recognize that verse. If they hadn't said 2 Timothy 2:15 afterward, I'm like, what? I'll stick with the King James. It makes sense. I can study this and know what God's got going on. It makes all the difference in the world. He says here, back in our text, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and wilt do that which is right in His sight. That reminds me of Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, that says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
Evidence, that's something you're going to be able to see. That's something that is legal in a court of law that they lay out here before everybody to see. He says, if you'll do it right in God's eyes, He'll be able to see it.
Amen.
He says, we'll give ear to His commandments. What does Romans 10:17 say? So then faith cometh by what, church?
Hearing.
Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Say, I can't do it no more. Need to build up those faith muscles. Start listening to some good preaching there. Wherever you can, get it off the computer, get it off sermon audio, get it off Facebook, whatever the case is, make sure you got you some good preaching. Go, sermon audio has on there where you can listen to the Bible being read to you. There are others where you can get the King James Bible and listen to it. Faith cometh by hearing, church. But hey, we are suffice with singing. Singing's got its place, church. But it doesn't say faith cometh by singing. It says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Preach.
He says, keep all His statutes. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. He didn't say I hid it in my shoe. That might not be very comfortable, especially with my feet being messed up. I wouldn't want that. Hid in my heart, though. And I can go forward for God. I can draw near to that certain tree. And He says, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'm reminded over there in Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Man, that's some good help right there for us. But I want to point something out here to you very specifically. It just came to my mind. There in Hebrews chapter number 4, it is that word help. Thank God the pastor taught us to do those word studies. I'm going to try to get through as quickly as I can. That word help means frapping. Frapping, Brother Terrence. Say, what in the world does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Woo! You see, in olden times, before they had chains and all this metal inside the ship there to hold the cargo secure in the place, they used ropes. The cargo did not leave the ship, but with all the back and forth on the waves, it would loosen the ropes. And what they'd have to do, Brother DJ, is they'd have to come over here and frap it. In other words, what they would do is they'd take that rope and make it a little bit tighter. It didn't come out of the ship. Jesus is the ship. Don't forget that, church. But when we get to that point in our lives where we doubt our salvation, we get to that point in our lives where sin's getting to us, we get to that point where we just don't know which way to turn, Jesus says, I am that help. I am the one who's going to come over here and frap you, get you good and secure. In other words, He's going to heal you. But verse number 27, we'll close. We see the conquest. And they came to Elam, where there were 12 wells of water. That 12 wells speaks of abundant blessings. And I got to thinking about there in John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Yes. Praise God, abundant blessings. Yes. And the 70 palm trees here that they find there at Elam talks about fruitfulness. And it talks about the many victories that we will see in God when we come to this certain tree. Yes. I got just two questions and a statement for you. Number one, are you complaining to God, about God, or are you coming to Him for your help? Are you doing what He has told you to do to see that victory? And the statement is simply this: victory came after obedience to God. It will work every time. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. We thank You, God, for being so awesome to us. And we do pray, Lord, that You'd help each and every one of us to follow after You in Your holy will. We thank You, God, for just loving us despite all that we do.
Yes, sir.
Help us, Father, please, to just draw closer to You. We love You. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen.
Let's all stand.